This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
All right. Welcome back to the Survival and Basic Badass Podcast, Kevin and Chuck. Well, today we're going to talk about home defense weapons. We're talking guns. We're talking other stuff. You know, there are other options. People have limitations where they live and what they have access to. And honestly, consequences with what you do with your stuff. All that comes into play and has a big effect on how you approach choosing the right self-defense weapon. Now, it used to be my whole childhood, I'd say there was like a good 50-year period that it was common knowledge a shotgun is the best home defense gun. There really was no debate about it. And I feel like times have changed. I don't put shotgun as number one, but it might be number one for you. And we're going to talk about that. So there's a lot of different things out there that, you know, you might want to consider and think about. And we're going to kind of cover all that. Kevin, thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's pretty common that people will have a shotgun for home defense next to the bed or in the bedroom. AR-15, handguns, different things. But, a lot of the time I'll ask people specifically, and a lot of the time the answer is shotgun. Whether that's the best choice, I don't know that's the case. But, I mean, that's what I have next to my bed. And, I think we could come up with a lot of better options. I could probably have a better option. But let's talk about why that is.
Exactly. So on the nightstand, I have the handgun. I think H&K, VP9SK, you guys have heard me plug it before. Something 9mm, easy, goes to, work, that kind of thing. And that sits right there on the nightstand and easy to access. Yeah. People are like, you can't leave it there all day because your little kitties will come in and get it. Well, no, because it's on my person when I'm not in my bed. It kind of goes that way. But maybe you don't live in a good state, and maybe that's not an option for you, to have it on your person and carry you with you every day. Right. Now, you're saying, well, why the handgun and not the long gun? Well, we're going to talk about it. So first, let's talk pros and cons of a shotgun. All right. Mm-hmm. Now, like I said, shotgun was always kind of the go-to for everybody. And they were like, oh, this is what you need, right? Well, the reason that is because the shotgun, you don't really need a lot of training and ability to hit somebody. I mean, basically, that's what it comes down to. You're dark, you're confused, disoriented from just waking up. Maybe a gun isn't what you should be handling, but that's where the shotgun is going to be. You're most likely to hit something.
Right.
All right. Those are all true statements now. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, especially in the day, guns were kind of something people don't actually use. Everybody had guns, but people didn't go shooting and
they weren't at the range every day.
You know, most of the guys I know who were hunters were shooting four or five times a year. And that's when they maybe once or twice to sight in, make sure the gun sighted in, and then they'd hit two or three deer. And that would be hunting, right?
Yeah.
And that was their handgun stuff. I know a lot of cops to this day who are like, oh, I shoot a gun when I go qualify, and that's it.
Once a year.
Gun. Or and whatever. And that's, you know, 5-10 shots that they may or may not hit a man-sized target. And right. That's
which is terrifying.
It's terrifying because these are our protectors, you know. These are right. The guys after we watch all these movies, we imagine that somebody's holding me hostage and they're gonna shoot him in the forehead while we're standing next to him. Right. Well, there are a lot of cops out there that could do that, but there's probably a lot more cops out there that couldn't do that.
Yeah, that end up accidentally shooting you in the dick and then
Yeah, exactly. You get shot in the ankle while he's trying to shoot the bad guy in the head. You know, there was a video a while back of a cop going into a house and a dog came barking at him and he put his hand out in front of him to stop the dog and he ended up shooting through his hand and not hitting the dog because
yeah, because your hand's in front of you, you can't see what you're doing. I read a news article recently about a naked guy having some sort of mental breakdown in I think it was Manhattan, and he was running in and out of traffic and you know, just being a general asshole, and the police showed up. And I understand not wanting to tackle a sweaty naked man running in and out of traffic.
Yes,
but they fired 9 rounds at him. They missed him. They hit some lady in the hip and they hit another lady in the head. And the crazy guy ended up getting charged with murder because they died while he was committing a crime.
Right. They do that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the fun trick, right? Yeah. No, I never understand that. So I don't know. There's a lot of crazy that goes on with that. But so what comes to mind is when people think about buying a home defense shotgun, they think something that's like tactical, right? Like right. A pistol grip. Now, I actually own a version of the Mossberg 590, which is, I'm showing a picture now, but it's the tactical version. And I mean, this has a pistol grip. I don't have a pistol grip on mine because that wasn't really my trick. But anyway, that in some states, especially like New York or something like that, how is it going to play out when that's sitting in front of the jury and the average person in your community? Are they, if a bunch of Californians or New Yorkers or even in Chicago, they see that's the weapon? I mean, Chicago, they might think that's reasonable because they're seeing people get shot every day and they're terrified of getting shot. I understand wanting to take your self-defense a little more seriously.
Yeah.
But
yeah, the problem with that right. in Chicago, yeah. Chicago runs the whole state. So you live out in the middle of nowhere in Southern Illinois and you still got to have the same, you know, same laws that Chicago right. does.
Not unlike New York City runs New York.
I lived in Southern Illinois in the middle of nowhere, and just getting a permit, you had to get a permit for a shotgun. Like, you had to get a permit for everything, you know, but whatever. I'm not going to debate gun laws in different states because
okay, that wasn't
we'll
the
just
goal.
Get irate and the vein will start you popping out of my forehead. And...
in the forehead. Yeah, no, exactly. That's what happens. So what I'm saying is you may consider something like a standard Mossberg 500 with like the wood stock and more traditional, because that you have for hunting and whatever. Right. And guess what? Turns out they're almost identical in function and effect. Right. Obviously there's no pistol grip, but my version with no pistol grip and that classy wood version, you know, grandpa's old shotgun is going to shoot just the same. Mm-hmm. Now again, are you keeping it oiled and clean and cycling it and making sure that things function properly? Yes, right. That comes into play. I didn't say grandpa's neglected shotgun
right.
that has cobwebs and dirt and, you know, somebody was leaning on it in the dirt and it has 4 inches of mud packed in the barrel. I'm not saying that's the one that's going to function the same, but I'm saying that, you know, it can have a wood stock or a metal stock or, you know, a cool, you know, plastic, whatever, polymer grips and whatever, and it's going to be just as good. Now, so here are my concerns. People always say, all right, well, the shotgun, I can get up, I can go shoot at anybody, and I can hit anything that's moving. Well, the problem is, what happens when somebody takes a hostage, grabs your little kid or grabs your wife? Now you're kind of useless with that shotgun. And then you're like, well, Chuck, I put slugs in mine instead. And so I'm better. Well, okay. But if you're using it and like hoping it's a rifle, then just get a rifle. Like, right. 'Cause you just defeated the whole shotgun thing.
Right.
People also
got it loaded with buckshot or a slug.
Right.
You also have to, I mean, this goes for most firearms. You have to be aware of the walls, you know, what's behind the walls in your house.
Right.
You know what but I mean? Drywall doesn't stop bullets. Even 2x4 framing, if you're lucky enough to hit it,
right.
isn't going to stop it.
And the thing is, so people are like, oh, well, the shotgun's not going to go through the sheetrock. Well, if you have any kind of effective round that's going to hurt the guy, it's going to go through the sheetrock.
Yeah, if you're going with birdshot, you're not going to put somebody down. You know, it might not go through the drywall and kill somebody in the adjoining room, right. but you're not going to kill somebody that's in your house either.
Now that's one of the things that, you know, you want to think about and be aware of. You're always thinking about what's behind your target when you're using a gun, and people are not always doing that, and they should be. So that's something you might want to take into account. Now, next, let's kind of move on. Now, same thing too, right? So somebody's holding a hostage. You're not shooting them. Also, now I know a lot of states, as soon as that guy walks out your front door, you can't really do anything and you're kind of limited. But if somebody's running away with your baby or whatever, there's nothing you can do with that shotgun as he's 20 and 30 feet away. I mean, right. obviously you can annoy him and injure his leg a little bit, but it's not going to cripple him on the ground. Most likely. Now, obviously you shoot somebody in the face with a target load, it's going to be a problem, but the further they get away, the less effective your options are becoming. And that's something to definitely take into account with a shotgun.
Right.
So,
and we don't really know what the range was that, that Dick Cheney shot that guy in the face from.
It was pretty close.
He definitely messed that dude's face up pretty good.
Kevin, that's horrible. Why would you bring up such ugliness on a friendly show that we're recording in the morning where people are drinking their coffee and enjoying pleasantness? So let's move on to the handgun. Now, a handgun, one, the effectiveness you have with the handgun is relative to how much training you have, right? And how much time you spend at the range. Now, again, if I had zero time at the range and I was not effective with the handgun, it would not be my first choice or my only choice at, you know, at having a weapon that's right there and available.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the handgun, like I said, it has a lot of options where, you know, they sell those fancy safes where you can, you know, the biometric safes
that
you can put your hand on it and it'll open, and they'll open with a key or a like 3 or 4 digit code. And people are like, I can't possibly remember 4 numbers right when I wake up, or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. We've had these arguments and whatever. Mine isn't locked up when I'm there because it's right next to me and I'm not worried about it. And you could say, well, you're asleep. And yeah, well, okay. There's a level of risk that I'm willing to, you know, overcome that
my gun
isn't going to get up and shoot me while I'm sleeping or something like that. Now, is it under my pillow? No, I'm not at that level of risk. All right.
Right.
But is it within arm's length? Yes, it is. Okay. So that's something, a personal preference. Now, would I rather have a short barrel rifle with a suppressor right next to my bed? Would that be more effective? In my opinion, yes. Yes, it would. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. But the negative that I have to that is, and why I prefer the handgun, is I don't want to leave that rifle sitting out because of people and animals and things in my house all day long that I don't feel comfortable with it sitting there in an exposed kind of area. And whatever. And that's a preference. If I lived alone, if I lived with me and my tactical wife and we just hang out, then I would say that the rifle is going to be my go-to that's right there next to the bed. Mm-hmm. But that all things being taken into account, the handgun is going to be the right choice for me in my situation when I'm worried about the different guns that are there. So that's something you guys might, you know, again, it's people always ask me, well, what's the best handgun that I should carry? I do have the 590. What's the best handgun that I should carry? And I would say the one that you're gonna carry, you know, people always want to have something that's going to fit nice concealed and, you know, be accessible and comfortable. And, you know, having a big 45, yeah, maybe you think that's the most effective weapon, but, you know, 1911 or something, but having that next to on your hip all the time is a pain in the ass when you're getting in and out of the car, unless you have straight open carry laws. And in North Carolina, where I live, we have open carry laws, but I'm not comfortable walking around just brandishing a big gun all the time in people's faces. Now, am I the dummy who's like, yeah, somebody's going to come up and grab it out of your holster and shoot it? And I'm like, no, not likely. And I'm not saying not likely because I'm so cool and I'm going to stop them. I'm saying if you don't have the angle right and think about things, a lot of the leather, like, you know, tight holsters, you don't just slip it out. They don't just pop out. And the ones that are like Kydex and stuff that do just pop out usually have little locking mechanisms or clips that, you know, hold it in place and keep it effective.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something to, you know, be aware of. So anyway, handgun, excellent choice. And like I said, it's what you're going to feel comfortable leaving out. Like I said, if you're not going to leave the SBR on your, you know, your nightstand, then having it in the cabinet, but I don't have a handgun because I'm going to use my SBR, short barrel rifle. The reason that's not more effective, right? You need something you can get at right away. Now, do you have your short barrel rifle accessible somewhere that's nearby and you can maybe get to it pretty quickly also if the situation changes? I would say absolutely a good idea. And something I would kind of figure out how to get into.
Yeah, I think that one thing to think about is, you know, when you're talking about a firearm near your bed, somebody breaking into the house, you know, you're looking at something you want to be able to deal with close quarters stuff. You know what I mean? A handgun is great for that. A shotgun is great for that. But, you know, if somebody's running up your yard, you know, that's maybe not the best, you know, the best weapon that you want. Somebody is breaking into your house and you have to go explore the noise down in the kitchen, when your wife wakes you up cause she heard something, you know, maybe a handgun is ideal for that. But it's not, you know, different firearms for different situations, and having something next to your bed as your first option is great. And then you can pick what you want to pick, what's best for you when you're awake, when you're aware of what's going on, you know, when somebody's banging on the front door, that might be a whole different, you know, whole different situation.
Right. No, exactly. You know, you need to keep your options. Now, Brian, a listener, mentioned too, like having a dog to give you that early warning system, to give you some kind of an alert, having cameras, having motion sensors, having alarms, you know, things, all these things are something that's going to give you an edge and alert you to time and, you know, give you another moment to prepare. You know, it's always, it's like why we lock our doors in our house, right? Like why you have the deadbolt or whatever.
Right.
When you're sitting on the couch with the wife eating popcorn, having 2 seconds to be like, oh, I'm going to grab my gun and, you know, and I just mean from your hip and kind of get it ready or whatever, it is going to give you an edge over somebody walking in and you're all kind of, you know.
Right. They just walked in the front door and there they are, right?
Right. Exactly. So having some kind of early warning system, be that dogs, be that an alarm, be that a driveway alarm, you know, any of those things is going to give you an edge and something mm-hmm. that you want to, you know, think about and be aware of. So that's something you may want to take into, you know, account and consider before you, you know, choose the right option. Because like I said, how much time you have is going to affect everything. So next let's talk about, the short barrel rifles and, or a regular AR-15. Mm-hmm. I say short barrel rifle, just moving around in the house. That seems like more the go-to, but honestly, the moving around in the house, mine becomes, almost, you know, it's basically that 16 inches once I put a suppressor on it anyway. This isn't mine, but this is a picture of a similar setup. You have the short barrel with a suppressor. Obviously, suppressing the noise inside a house is huge. People have no idea how brutal it is firing a weapon inside the house or inside a room. It's pretty bad. Mm-hmm. You definitely, it's cool if you can have hearing protection nearby and, you know, or you can count on some hearing loss if you don't, you know, take some kind of preventative steps is the
answer. See, the joke's on you. I already have hearing loss, so there's not going to be any issues.
Right. I'm already at an even playing field here where it's, you know, no, that's exactly right. It's something to, you know, take into account. Now, short barrel rifle. Here's why. One, I'm accurate. Two, I can not even, I need less training to be accurate. You know, shooting somebody holding a hostage or something like that, I need less training than I do to be the guy with the handgun who can be accurate at that. Now, I would like to think that most of our listeners are accurate up to 15 feet with a handgun where you're hitting somebody. But also, there is a difference when you're nervous or, as we discussed earlier, when you just woke up, when you're, you know, that kind of thing. There is a, you know, a difference in how effective and how, you know, how precise you might be in that spur of the moment. But, you know, that's up to you. You have to decide what's, you know, right for you and whatever and what works for your family, you know, for protection. But that short barrel rifle, they step out your door, you're going to have some kind of you're going to have some kind of range with it. You're going to have, you know, the ability to kind of really deal with multiple attackers. I mean, that's the thing too. People, you know, imagine a scenario where it's one burglar and he comes in with like a TV. Well, yeah, you know, a TV in his hand on the way out the door. And, right. You know, like it's not necessarily going to be that, you know, sometimes it is the home invasion of 4 and 5 people. You know, a lot of these city places, people work together. They call it gangs. I don't know if mm-hmm. you've ever heard of that. But they'll have multiple attackers. And dealing with multiple attackers, especially if they have guns, if you just have a handgun, you're probably going to be outgunned. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, it's the way it's going to go. Whereas when you have a rifle, you're trained with the rifle and you're effective with the rifle, that's going to make a big difference. And you're going to be able to, you know, do different things and keep things, you know, on a more even playing field.
Right. Right. You know, I heard somebody talking about this, about home defense and, you know, that sort of, waking up in the middle of the night in the dark house. And, you know, they say, you know, once they hear the shotgun rack, that'll be, yeah. They're going to run away. You don't have to worry about it. You don't even have to shoot it. They don't even have to see it. That's kind of bullshit though. You know what I mean? If somebody's breaking in your house in the middle of the night while you're there, they're assuming that there's going to be some sort of bullshit going on. You know what I mean? That's not going to scare somebody off if they're already willing to do that, you know?
Right. It depends who your attacker is. If it's the neighbor kid, yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. You know, if he's like, oh, I can get some, you know, extra money for, you know, go buy some weed or whatever, because that guy probably leaves a $50 bill in his billfold on the dresser. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he might be scared. But if you get a, you know, hardened criminal with the gang tattoos and everything, you know, with the whatever stuff tattooed on his forehead and whatever, you know, and it's probably not going to be the scary deterrent that you believe it is.
Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, I was thinking about that, getting some face tattoos just to, you know, put everybody in the neighborhood on notice just in case, but you know, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. So those are my three go-to. Like I said, I think my personal preference is, is to have a, you know, some kind of AR-15. And like I said, preferably something that's suppressed, preferably something that's short barrel, you know, that you have the maneuverability, you know, a 16 inch barrel with a suppressor on the end of it, you're a lot in the hallway, right? Mm-hmm. You know, moving around the tight corners. But I got to say, the winner on everything is training. And, you know, understanding how to move, understanding how to look around corners, maybe not giving away your position by racking the shotgun before you've even moved into the space. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's all you need is to, you don't know what's going on in the next room. And you hear noises and two guys talking, you stand in the hallway and racking the shotgun is your go-to move, then they're like, ooh, let's get ready and watch for what's coming around the corner. You know, that's what's going to happen. So that's not exactly the power play. Now, maybe you hang out over at Biden's house and his wife is going to come out and just fire a couple of rounds into the yard. That was always the go-to. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe that's what you want to look at. That to me is
just shooting a gun off into the dark.
Good idea, especially when there's Secret Service agents out there or whatever. Uh-huh. Probably not the go-to that I would choose, but you know, I'm not at that level of sophistication, so it's hard for me to say. Mm-hmm. I would say next thing you want to think about ammo. Now, I didn't dig as much into ammo as I maybe could have, but I got to say with a shotgun, I would probably want some kind of heavy slug, like like buckshot, something like that. Or sorry, I said slug, a heavy shot round. Sorry. And, but
I thought you were going to say dragon's breath, because once your house is on fire, everybody's going to try and get out anyway.
And they ain't getting shit. Like they want to loot all your stuff. Nope. Uh-huh. Not if it's burned to the ground.
That's right.
That's not going to happen. Right. Or they have those little, fletchet, like they're like little razor blades kind of thing. That might be, you know, a good mm-hmm. round to have. They have little balls that are tied together with string that, you know, kind of, there's a lot of good rounds out there for that. I would say for defending my home, I do like hollow point rounds. Mm-hmm. People are like, oh, cop killers. That's what they used to say. And it's weird because now I've heard people describe describe cop killers as a different type of round, but I don't know. They used to say that about hollow points. That was always the thing. Right. I guess then cops got vests, and then that kind of became completely irrelevant because
hollow point
is like ideal for a vest, and you're like, wait, that you made it easier to stop it. And yeah, but no, in your house, hollow points are great because you have less over penetration, right? The bullet's not going as far, you know, it's not going through somebody and through the sheetrock, most likely.
Right.
Again, you always want to be aware and you know, thinking about what's behind your target. But the more you can slow that round down, the better it's going to be. And that's where you want to think about.
Right. And honestly, shooting in your house is extremely dangerous. You know, things ricochet. Things go all sorts of directions.
Bad for your hearing, bad for everything. But yeah, that's where we're at on that. Now, Kevin, you're familiar with states where you don't want to have guns and you don't want to have all this crappy stuff in your house. Now, what are some other options that you might consider? What do you keep in your house? Well, we don't want to give away your personal information, but your fellow New Yorkers, next to your bed?
Yeah. Well, I mean, first off, I would say a good fighting knife is a good move. But if you don't know how to use a fighting knife, you know, that's also stupid. You're going to end up getting stabbed with your own knife. You know, you don't want to get shot with your own gun. You don't want to get stabbed with your own knife. You know, anything that it comes down to home defense, any weapon you use, you want to know how to use it. You know what I mean? It's a weapon is useless if you're an idiot and you don't know what the fuck you're doing. You know, baseball bat is great. And that's standard. People keep baseball bats near the front door all the time. Golf clubs, you know, pipe wrench, any good swinging item. But, you know, I know people joke about keeping a sock on the end of your baseball bat, right? In case they grab it, at least you get one more swing. You know?
All right.
Slides off the end and you're ready to go again.
Now, but I mean, you know what else would be good instead of a sock on the end of your baseball bat? Maybe you throw a bunch of finish nails into the end of your baseball bat. And I don't think they're grabbing it when it's all prickly.
Yeah.
And two, that porcupine stick might be effective means of, you know, taking down a predator. Mm-hmm. We'll say that.
Yeah. No. I mean, some people have nothing. Some people have nothing in their house and, you know, they're not worried about it. The doors are locked. They're fine. They're safe. They're safe. Nobody has ever broken down a door. Nobody has ever picked a lock. You know, they're going to be fine. You know, if you don't want to learn how to use a weapon and you don't want to have one in your house because you're, you know, some sort of hippie, you know, have one of those dogs that eat people. I have one. It's, you know, great. The Amazon driver won't even come past the edge of my driveway. It's perfect. Right. You know,
exactly.
They just, you know, throw the package out the door as they drive by and run for it.
Yeah, but maybe that's because he knows a little more about you. And he's like, I know this guy, jerk.
Yeah.
Throws the package. That sounds about right.
Yeah. I wasn't home the other day and I, came home and was enraged after I talked to my wife because some asshole from up the street pulled up in the front of my house and started yelling at the Amazon driver because he was driving too fast. And I know who this asshole is. I don't like him. I don't like him in my neighborhood and I don't like him in my front yard. And I probably would have set the dogs on him if I was at home. But, you know, the wife is a lot nicer than I am. So she let it slide. I don't know. I should go down and bang on his fucking door and have a talk with him. But that's besides the point. He didn't actually come into my yard. He just parked in front of my house. And, you know, that's enough for me to be irate. Right. But, you know,
now it is what it is. Same thing. So you have, you know, pepper spray, that kind of stuff, that, you know, mace, whatever, bear spray, whatever.
Don't spray that for the first time when you're dealing with somebody. Don't spray it in your house.
In your house, it's just not a good go-to, you know? Maybe if you're cracking your front door and blasting the guy in the face, but I got to say, cracking your front door just sounds like a bad idea, because you're just like giving them another entry point, right? You know, you crack that front door, somebody's plowing through it, and or at least you have the risk of that happening. Whereas the deadbolt buys you a couple of seconds. Plus, when you're telling the court, oh, you know, I opened the door, then that's not really exactly what you want lawyers repeating in front of a jury.
Right.
Because right now you're inside your dwelling and people have some kind of fantasy that people can't just kick through a door in a minute. You know,
right.
They're like, oh, well, I'm safe inside, you know, behind my secure locked doors. You know, that's the fantasy that everybody always has. But, you know, who knows?
I used to do construction. I remember getting a call from a lady. I went over to her house and they had this big, elaborate front door. You know, it was, you know, like one of those $5,000 setups with the big windows over, you know, over top of it and along the side. And it was a whole big thing. And I could see the footprint, one footprint. Somebody just kicked in the front door with the foot, went inside. It used to be a business and they went inside looking for where the safe used to be in the house. They could follow the footprints on, you know, the muddy footprints, you know, through the house toward to the closet where there used to be a safe. And it was just one dude kicked it one time and that was it. $5,000 door destroyed. And it was you know, you have to be aware that your front door probably isn't as safe as you think it is. It's not that hard to push a door in. You can make your door safe, but it's probably not as safe as you think it is. If you haven't done any alterations to anything.
Right.
So just be aware of that. It's not difficult to get into somebody's house.
Now I do have exciting news. This year, Prepper Camp 2024, it's in North Carolina, out in the mountains, and turns out I'm going to be a speaker there talking about EMPs and possible cyber attack stuff, talk about what's going on in the world and what kind of things are out there. You may want to check it out, get a ticket. It's pretty cool. It's basically a three-day event where you have kind of nonstop speakers. What they do is they actually, it just keeps growing where they have like four tents going on. And I think there's like eight speakers a day in each tent. I mean, it could be even more than that. And basically they give the same speech three times a day in each, you know, each hour block in each tent. And then, so the idea is you can pick and choose the ones that are a priority to you and go learn all the cool skills. And they have awesome skills for, you know, all kinds of stuff, you know, blacksmithing and different things, you know, to talk about and learn about skinning animals and, you know, really everything prepper related. The whole thing is kind of run by Rick Austin, who is the food forest guy. He's the secret garden of survival. He's there. He's giving lectures. There's awesome stuff. It's something you guys may want to check out. Turns out that tickets and stuff sell out way faster than I thought they would and whatever. You can still get tickets, definitely. Staying at the campsite on site is tough. It's, you know, I mean, as far as availability. So you may want to look into it and act quick if that's something you'd be interested in. Plus there's hotels and stuff, but it seems like it's pretty big deal. And there's a lot of people who are, you know, into this, and it's just an awesome way to connect and, you know, talk to people and get to know people who are like-minded and looking for stuff like you're looking for. That's something, you know, you may want to consider and check out. I know I'm excited to do it. I definitely set it up that we're going to have a booth there. I don't think I can drag Kevin. I keep trying to talk him into it, but I'm going to have a booth there where you can come over, maybe get some prepping badass gear. But we also, I just want to talk and hang out with people, you know?
Yeah. How much are the tickets?
I think right now you get in on the early bird. I think they're like $65 each. And I think at most they're like $100 and that covers the whole weekend. I mean, you know, they're $100 at the end, you know, like if you wait to the last minute. But yeah, Prepper Camp is the answer. It's preppercamp.com. You want to check that out. Like I said, it'd be awesome. You can come meet the guy in person, right? I know that's what everybody's looking for. And the thing is, I can probably talk about guns and not get booted off the stage. So that's
So that just happened about 20 minutes ago on this podcast, didn't it?
Right.
We just got kicked off of YouTube. Booted
off the YouTube stage. So, you know, it happens. Happens to the best of us. So, you know, who knows? They don't like guns, but it's weird because I keep reading their policy. And they said, as long as you don't take apart and disassemble guns and you don't change magazines, they're really worried about magazines for some reason. Okay. And they're worried about, you know, the, I don't know, but basically, as far as I know, we didn't violate anything of, their standards, but somehow, you know, that's how the world works.
Yeah. It doesn't really matter. Right.
They're really worried about the lives because, you know, people are going to go shoot something up in a live situation. You know what I'm saying? And that's like the go-to. I think talking about the special, you know, the gun that I would use or whatever is where we went wrong. They're like, oh, there's a gun on the show. But I don't know. How many times have you seen people shooting guns on YouTube?
I was just watching YouTube, watching people shoot guns before the.
But I think the live is where it gets scary and terrifying. So, you know, but that's all right. So we'll get that straightened out or we won't, whatever, you know, life's a bitch, deal with it. Preppercamp.com is where you want to get tickets and check that out. I waited so long. I should have warned you guys earlier about it, you know, so you could get tickets and get in on it early, but I was waiting till everything was firmed up as far as me being there and having having a booth. And, you know, once that all got set up and organized, then I, you know, here I am telling you about it. So with that, you can check us out at preppingbadass.com. You have questions, concerns. You want to ask questions about Prepper Camp? You can email us at preppingbadass@gmail.com. You have ideas, topics, things you want to hear about, learn about. You want to tell us about how YouTube sucks? preppingbadass@gmail.com. Otherwise, I really appreciate you guys listening. And I would say stay safe, and we will talk to you guys next week.